This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It's April 27th, 2020. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch, who's right here. A show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, bicycle business, bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show and you're listening on Facebook Live right now, you can comment on the Bicycle Talk Facebook page, or you can email me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. We are recording our shows on Mondays now using Facebook Live, then playing them at our normal times on Wednesday on WHUS 91.7 FM. We will continue to do this until we are allowed back in the studio on the UConn campus. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, or now on Spotify. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. Ron's rant of the week. Oh, boy, here we go. We're still coronavirusing here. You know, we're still COVID-19. The Connecticut primary, which was supposed to be tomorrow, which I was supposed to be working because I am a poll worker, has been postponed. So tomorrow was supposed to be election day. That's not happening. It's still here. All right. My big rant of the week is going to be very, very simply spread out, folks. Give yourself some space. There's plenty of places to ride your bike, and there are becoming more and more places to ride your bike. So let's try not to congregate. We're trying to keep this thing in check if we can. And all the authorities are telling us that the further apart we keep each other, the better off we are. That does not mean that you don't, you know, get to see people out riding their bikes and maybe stop and have a conversation. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But spread out, folks. There's plenty of places to ride your bike. So, and on a positive side, are you ready? Here they come. Zwift, Be Cool Simulator, Sufferfest, Trainer Road, Full Gas, Ruby. What do they all have in common?
They're
Fran
fun.
Knows because Fran was down there yelling and screaming on the program this morning. She was down there riding with a bunch of people that she rides with. You always know that Fran is hooked on something like this when her alarm goes off. It's a rare thing. It's not like she's posting. She's
that's her riding with the Ascenders.
Her alarm goes off because she has to meet a group. You use Zwift.
Yes.
There are other programs out there too. And you definitely Trainer Road. Speaking of which, Trainer Road, we saw our friend Amber yesterday on her bike. Awesome, Amber. Great to see you on your bike. Amber and David were out for a bike ride. We stopped and we did a New England wedge on the road with them. By the way, if you're not from New England, and I know I have a lot of listeners that aren't from New England, so I'm going to let you know what a New England wedge is. A New England wedge is when two vehicles coming from opposite directions stop and then proceed to talk to one another.
And they block the road.
Yeah. Otherwise known as a New England wedge. So we created a few wedges on Saturday. We had a few different people that we talked to. We were off the road, so we gave adequate space and all. But anyway, we did see Amber, which was very cool. And we're still figuring it out. And hopefully within a short period of time, I will have the technology down to a science here. And we will start getting guests back on the show, too, because I am so psyched to get other people involved here. Hey, look at all the people watching. Hello. Thanks, Franny. Zwift, Be Cool Simulator, Sufferfest, Trainer Road, Full Gas, Ruby, they're all really, really cool. That's a great thing. If you have not discovered this yet and you are locked in, so to speak, then, this is what you can do to keep yourself somewhat entertained and keep yourself fit. That's the key. I'm really worried about when the floodgates open, should they ever open, and they let us all out, I'm just really concerned about the level of fitness that a lot of people are going to be at, because
I'll be fine.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine. I know that. I rode with you on Saturday and we did a nice ride. And so yeah. you're not who I'm worried about at all.
Why did we do a nice ride on Saturday, Ron?
Well, I was going to get to that later on, okay. But I can talk about it now. I can talk about it. I'll touch base on it again at the end. But we did a nice ride on Saturday because I rode 65 kilometers for my 65th birthday. Yeah, I'm old as dirt, but still on the right side of it, and I'm still riding my bike.
Yeah.
So that's what this was all about, and we had a lovely day. It was gorgeous out, and I was with a gorgeous woman, and we were just having a great bike ride.
Who was it?
Yeah, who was it? It was you, Franny. Come on now. Yeah. Are you showing pictures?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay, so anyway, here we go, more pictures here. So anyway, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Right now, though, I'm going to move on to the Maintenance Minute, and this is from Mike in, get this, not just Canton, Connecticut, but also Tucson, Arizona. And he made a note here. He thought you might want to be a good, this might be good material for your mechanical minute, maintenance, for your maintenance minute. So, you know, thank you so much for listening, Mike. That's so cool that you're both in Arizona and also Canton. So you're back and forth. And it's just really cool to hear from you. And I know why you're in Arizona this time of year, if you're there. It's really warm. But we've actually played out there a number of times, and it's pretty cool. So anyway, he writes to me, he says, amigos, this might be a good time to look your bikes over and make sure they are ready for post-quarantine fun to come. My Cervelo was acting a bit strange. Shifting was weird and something sounded clunky and when I was pedaling backward. Even the free hub clicking when coasting sounded strange. He took the free hub apart. It was pretty dirty in there. The star ratchets, and this was a DT Swiss 240s hub, had three chipped teeth on one side. This hub has been in service for 10 years. Only the second time he serviced the free hub. Needs to do it a little more often. And you do. You know, it's, you got to pull it apart once in a while, take a good look at it. The pawls, which are the little tiny pieces that make that clicking noise when you're coasting on your bike or pedaling backwards on your bike, those do eventually, they get chips in them. I used to overhaul three-speed hubs years ago. Remember those three-speed hubs? I mean, they still exist, but I was the go-to Sturmey Archer guy. And if somebody had a bad Sturmey Archer, AW, SW, or S3C, they all came to the bicycle shop that I was working at, and they had me repair the hubs for them because there weren't a lot of people out there that were still doing that. But I figured it out, and, you know, they have these little pawls on the inside and planet gears and all sorts of crazy stuff. But it's actually fascinating to see how it all works. But anyway, those pawls will get chipped, and you need to get parts for them, and you can find the parts. They are readily available. And he says here that do-it-yourself servicing was pretty easy. He put the new parts in yesterday with a cleaning and fresh grease. Everything works great now. Shifting is back to normal too. So why was the shifting off? Let's evaluate that just a little bit. Anything that is in the rear hub component of your bike, be it a loose hub or you know, faulty free hub because of looseness, because of broken or chipped pawls, that will affect the shifting on your bike. Back in the old days, back when, I can't say what back when, but we eventually graduated up to 8-speed. I remember 8-speed. 8-speed was like, yeah, this is it. I got 8 gears on the back of my bike now. This is really good. It worked great. We had index shifting. Everything was good. And then they went to 9, 10, and 11. Now, this is... I'm kind of ranting on the Maintenance Minute here, but I will rant a bit. When we went to 9, 10, and 11, things got a little more finicky, a little more touchy. And you really have to keep everything absolutely perfect in order for it to work properly. So when someone comes to me, and I get this off, and I have my little repair stand downstairs in my house, and they come to me, and they say, yeah, I'm having problems with shifting. And I'll say, did your bike fall over anytime? Oh, no, nothing there, nowhere. And you bump into anything with the rear? I don't know. I may have. I don't know. First thing I do is I pull the derailleur off, the rear derailleur off. I put a an alignment tool on it, and I screw it into the threads where you have your derailleur screwing into your frame. And I check the alignment of the hanger in relation to the actual wheel. That's the way the thing works. And there's a number of people that make tools for this. I use a Park tool, and it's been in my service for a very long time. And if you are an avid cyclist and you do some of your own work on your bike, I highly recommend this tool. It's it can get you in trouble. You want to be aware that if you are aligning dropouts often on your bikes, you want to have a spare replacement dropout for that bike available, or else you may be out of a bike for a little while, because those little hangers they put, the replaceable hangers they put on the bikes, are really, unless it's made by a particular company, they are really a little soft and fragile, especially ones that are coming out of certain factories that are over in China and Taiwan. There's particular ones which I find to be annoying. I used to work for a company that used one of those factories, and they even got to a point where when you opened the box to assemble the bike, there was a spare hanger in the box because they knew that they were just soft and buttery. My particular go-to, I will mention it. I don't usually endorse things on the show, but I'm going to mention this as Wheels Manufacturing. They make the best replacement derailleur hangers by far. They are the priciest of them all, and they make them for everybody. It's amazing how many they have, because there's a bazillion different ones out there in the market. So that's another thing that I really push when shifting is bad. The first thing I check is the derailleur hanger. But the second thing that I check is looseness of the rear hub or the cassette body. Because if that cassette body is dancing around at all on your hub, as it was with Mike, you're going to get enough play in it to screw up the shifting. And, you know, there you go. But you should pull it apart every once in a while. Check it out. It's definitely a good thing. Clean it up. Make it look nice. Get all the grit and everything out of there, because they're not impervious to the elements. So you really got to do that every once in a while. So big shout out to Mike from Tucson and also Canton. I really appreciate your listening, and I appreciate the feedback on this. This is really, really great. So, let's see. We're going to go all the way down the list here and see what we got to look at today. Going on into the show, we are going to talk a little bit more about, come on, open up. Here we go. Yeah. And now it says my page not found. So that really helps a lot. So, home fitness is in your future. That's certainly what it looks like. We are definitely hurting right now. And I would say that if you take a look at the different information that's available out there, the different programs that are available, you're going to find just an amazing number of items out there that are going to be available for you to put your trainer, your smart trainer, should you have a smart trainer, and get it going so that you can actually ride your bike indoors. Fran uses a number of different ones, but she likes Zwift right mm-hmm. now. And then we're being encouraged for Trainer Road, right? Didn't you ever say something about Trainer Road?
Yes.
But there are a number of different ones out there that you can use. So it depends on what training platform works best for you, and you can find the different ones out there. And if I can get my page to open up here, I will be able to give you a rough idea about what is available. But I'm having a little glitch here. Anyway, the Zwift program, of course, you know, Fran just absolutely loves the Zwift program, because it's, you know, it's she's just down there just chattering away. Now she's made friends and she's doing all these different, you know, rides with these different people, which is really cool. And it's really kind of a neat thing. Shout out to Dave in Massachusetts. She is developing friendships, which is very, very interesting. That she's, you know, established online. It's a very, very interesting thing, because apparently you can get into a Peloton on Zwift and you can like hang in there like you're really drafting.
Yeah.
Like you're out on the road.
Yes.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that while I try to figure out what the heck's going on here with my
Well, so when you get on Zwift specifically, there are a number of things that you can do. You can just go for a ride. And on Zwift, there are various worlds. So the worlds that are on Zwift, there's Watopia is the biggest world, and it's just a map. And a place that that's computer generated. It's not a real place. I don't know if it's based on a real place. There's this town in it called Teanu, and Teanu is a real place. It's a city on an island in the South Pacific. But I don't think Watopia is supposed to be a real place. And Watopia has the widest variations of terrain, and it's fanciful. It has some silly things in it. It has deserts, and it has waterfalls, and it has rock formations, and it has dinosaurs, and has a bear that climbs a tree to get honey and falls off the tree. And so it has a large variety of terrain, and I think it has a lot of flat section. So people like to go on rides where they really hammer. And then when you go for a ride on Zwift, depending on the day, there's two, and lately there's been three choices of worlds, and maybe they're doing more choices of worlds because so many more people are on Zwift, because Europe is largely locked down, by lockdown, I mean they're not allowed to ride their bikes on the road at all. I think in the U.S., as the riding season gets on, less of us will be riding on Zwift. I mean, I'll ride on Zwift less frequently. But right now I've been riding almost every day because the weather's been crummy. We had a beautiful day on Saturday, so I was able to get outside and ride, do an IRL ride, and that was a lot of fun.
IRL?
In real life.
In real life.
As opposed to an RPG, a role-playing game, IRL is in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so Zwift is virtual and IRL is in real life. Yeah. So when you log into Zwift, you have a choice of which world you want to be in, and you can just go for a ride. So say you select London, there'll be various routes in London for you to choose. There's London's greatest flat. There's London's greatest ride. And there's a few different ones that you can do. And you can just go for a ride on that loop. You can also click just ride, and it'll just put you anywhere, and you'll just be riding around London. You can ride for as long as you like. While you're riding, you will see other people riding, and they are people like you, because you have an avatar, and they have avatars too, and they're real people. And you can talk to them. There's a chat function in Zwift that you can use either on your Zwift companion, or if you're running Zwift on a tablet or your phone, and you have a touch screen, you can, you know, pick up your phone and talk to them. You can touch the leaderboard, or you can touch a menu, and you can actually text. And that's what Ron hears me doing. I'm simply running the Zwift off my phone, and I'm projecting it onto the TV using Chromecast, and then I pick it up and I'm able to chat. And the reason he hears me speaking is simply because I'm using voice to text. Now, so that's if you just go on a ride. Now, when you look at your Zwift, you have the option to do things that are workouts. So there will be sprints, there'll be hill climbs, there'll be different interval workouts that you can select, and they'll be in different worlds. They could be in Watopia, they could be in London. The different worlds I've seen: London, Watopia, Innsbruck, Yorkshire, New York City. By the way, New York City has a number of different routes, and one of the routes in New York City is called Everything Bagel. So I'm assuming that
everything
that
bagel.
Everything bagel. Yeah. Oh, so I'm assuming that's because, you know, bagels are a big deal in New York, and there's a little bit of everything. There's some flats, and there's some climbs, and there's some this, that, and the other
thing.
Very
funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got it.
So, so that's Be Riding New York. So then the other thing you can do is, you can do races and you can do group rides. And, so you can, there are races, there are criteriums. And if you select something that's a race, you'll see a leaderboard and you'll see your position in the race. Some rides also put your position on the ride, especially if it's not a recovery ride. So I've done rides like that where I can see my position on the ride. It depends on who set up the ride. When you go on a group ride, there's often a fence. And if there's a fence, you know, it's a virtual fence that's in the front of the ride. And if you go past the fence, you might get kicked off the ride. So you have to stay behind the group leader. There's a fence, and then often there's a beacon, and the beacon is where the ride leader is. It's a good idea to stay behind the ride leader, but people, and every ride I have been on, there have always been people, are you ready for this, that go in front of the ride leader.
Gee, I've never experienced that on any ride that I've
so
ever
the
been
other
on
thing
virtual,
is,
I mean, real
on,
ride. Right?
On Zwift, you benefit from draft. It, just like your the program is set up so that if you're sitting in a Peloton, and they don't use the word Peloton. I don't know if that's because they're trying to distinguish between the Peloton program versus they humorously use the word blob. They say
blob?
You're in the blob instead
in
of saying
blob.
Peloton. They say you're in the blob. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Right. Which is why I was talking to a friend the other day who didn't seem to understand that the word what the meaning of the word Peloton is in terms of bike racing. That they thought that it was they were referring to Peloton the app, and they didn't know what a Peloton was. So we use the word blob. So if you're sitting in the blob, you get a good draft. So what happened to me today? I was on a lovely ride. It was a women's. By the way, there are women's rides. There are some women's only rides. I was on a recovery ride, so it wasn't super fast. And I was sitting in the blob very nicely. And because I'm running it off my phone, I have my phone sitting on a TV tray next to me. It's the little TV table. And I picked up my phone to do a text, and I dropped it on the floor. And I didn't want to have it on the floor because I wanted to be able to text people. So I decided to stop and go pick up the phone. Well, I lost the draft. And for the rest of the ride, I wasn't able to get back on. And I didn't have anybody come up to try to pull me up. And so, by the way, there are sweepers on the ride. So if you fall off the back and you want help, they'll help you.
God.
Yeah.
Where have we gone?
Yeah,
with this?
It's amazing.
It's
so you can practice drafting. It's really great. And so if you're on a group ride, and that's how I met my friend Dave from Massachusetts, because I've joined the Ascenders. So I've done a bunch of rides with a bunch of different groups. One of the groups is the Herd. And the Herd has the Thundering Turtles rides, which are nice big group rides that aren't too fast, but, you know, they're good for practicing your group skills.
Yeah.
So there's the Herd. I've been riding with the Revolution, and I've been riding with the Ascenders. And this morning I rode with the Fearless.
Randy
Fearless.
Says, Randy Spellman says, how do you steer?
You don't steer. Well, basically, actually, it's not
That's
entirely
funny.
True. You don't steer with your bike. So
say
you come to a crossroads. If you're on a ride, well, if you come to a crossroads, you get a notification on your screen that offers you the opportunity to take, you know, to turn left or turn right. And then you just tap. And so it'll say this way towards Knightsbridge. And you'll, if you want to go to Knightsbridge instead of going straight, you click that and it'll take you to the other way.
That's
you
fun.
Also have a menu that allows you to turn around. But you don't steer with your handlebars.
Okay.
So
it's virtual riding, but it's really, it has come to a level of
very sophisticated.
Sophistication, which is really, really great. I'm going to turn this back here.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool stuff. So Zwift is probably one of the big ones right now. I know Trainer Road is way up there too.
Trainer Road is different though.
But it's different. Everybody has a different format that they use. So on the Zwift ride, you can do free ride riding. You can group ride. You can do races. You can race with others in real time.
And you actually see a virtual world in Zwift.
Right.
You don't on Trainer Road.
Right. And then you can do structured workouts. You can follow structured workouts to improve your riding abilities or prepare for a race.
Right.
You do group workouts. You can do free running and running races also.
Yes. You have to get a smart treadmill. They have a Bluetooth smart treadmill. Well, that's how you would do it. That's Ruby.
Okay. And then we have Ruby. Okay. And bear in mind that these all require a subscription. So just there are a few freebies out there still. I did a little scanning on that this morning and I realized that there actually are a couple of freebies out there, but you're not going to get as much offered and you're probably not going to have as big of a crowd that you're working with. So depending on what you're looking for, you can find that too. But Ruby offers 2,500 available quality videos and GPS routes. You can create your own route if you're on Windows only. Augmented reality, structured training, build your own workout, pick from their workout library. You can also pull a workout of the day from their Training Peaks, which is another program.
So the big difference between Ruby and Zwift is they have that augmented reality. And augmented augmented reality? Or is it you don't have this on Zwift. Ruby, somebody can take their GoPro and do a ride and record it and crowd share it into Ruby.
Right.
And then you can ride the route that they – and when you what you see on your screen – is a real place. That's not like where Zwift is. It's computer generated graphics. When you're on Ruvi, you can do rides.
You can have a ride that someone has.
It's
done,
a GoPro and
has
it's
recorded
in,
it.
It's in a real place.
It, right?
Yes.
Yeah. They also have ride analysis, including pedal analysis, with compatible power meters. You can join events and challenges and all that. That is Ruvi. Full Gaz, okay, Full Gaz, that's F-U-L-G-A-Z, okay, that offers a big library of high-definition routes. As of today, they have 415 routes or about 5,000 miles of routes to explore. It works best on Apple TV, and it's compatible with most Bluetooth smart trainers and even the Kicker Climb and the Trax Neo virtual road feel. So you can get all of that. So, and that one is no longer with us. There were others in here. Trainer Road offers a huge library of power-based cycling workouts and triathlon plans. Big shout out to our friend Amber Pierce. We saw the other day riding her bike. She works with Trainer Road and, it's cool to see her here. I know that she she's in Reno a lot this time of year too. But anyway, she's here now. She's being safe and out riding her bike with her husband, David. And we saw them out on a ride the other day, which is cool. But anyway, Trainer Road has a Trainer Road workout creator. They also have well-designed structured training plans for triathletes, off-road cyclists, and road racers. Training plans are divided into high, medium, and low volume. So you can customize the start and end date of each plan and fit it into your schedule. You can move workouts around to indicate which days you want to do certain workouts. For example, if you can only do your long rides on Fridays instead of Sundays, you can indicate that as you are adding a plan to your calendar. So that's kind of cool. They have analytic tools to analyze your rides and do power analysis for each ride. And again, once we figure out this this technical thing that we're dealing with here, and can start bringing in guests, which should be very, very soon, I will bring Amber in and we'll have her as a guest and she can really explain how their whole system works, which is cool. One of the unique things about Trainer Road is that they have a great and busy community on their forum and on Facebook. They also have a great podcast to check out. So you can check that out as well. The Sufferfest, this goes back. I remember going to bicycle shops, and they would have like a Tuesday night trainer ride. And people would bring their trainers, or they'd use or borrow a shop trainer or whatever to bring their bikes in. And they would put a big Sufferfest video up on the screen and everybody would follow the workout and they would do a Sufferfest video. This was before the days that, you know, we have graduated to right now. So it's a lot different. But Sufferfest is compatible with Mac or Windows iOS, and it does, you know, ANT and Bluetooth and all that other fun stuff. And it's been around for a long time, and they're releasing new updates and videos on a regular basis. So with your membership, you also get access to yoga, mental toughness training, and strength training. It's the only app that goes beyond cycling and with additional workouts to complement your cycling and make you a better athlete overall.
That's Sufferfest?
That Sufferfest, yeah.
Well, Peloton has other stuff too.
They do, and Saturday Night Live had a good time with Peloton Saturday night. Yeah, didn't you see that?
I guess not.
Yeah, you did. You were awake. You just didn't quite put it all together. It's very early in Saturday Night Live, and they were you know, parroting the whole, you know, we can't ride our bikes right now, you know, because they do it all in a studio. But they said, instead, we're going to teach you how to do this and how to do that and get tough. And it was very, very silly. So if you get a chance to catch the Saturday Night Live that was in-home Saturday Night Live last Saturday night, it had kind of a funny thing on Peloton. And it was just a goof. But there's another one called Xert, X-E-R-T. I don't know about this one, but it...
Yeah, Bill Maris uses it.
Yeah, it calculates your FTP, and so your functional threshold is calculated, and you can work on... Although I think most of them do that now. I think you can do your FTP on almost all of the training apps, and then you can use that to customize your workout, too, so you can, you know... It'll adjust your machine to whatever level you're looking for. So anyway, and then there's Velo Pro Bike. There's just a ton of them. They're all out there. RGT Cycling. There's and it looks like they come and they go too, because I see things crossed out. But there's a bunch of different ones out there that you can play around with and get a general idea of what there is to offer. As far as training indoors, should you be confined to the indoors? Let's talk about not training indoors. Let's talk about, you know, getting outside. There was a great op-ed that came out this morning. I think it was this morning or maybe within the last couple of days by Mary Donegan and Tab Coombs. And Mary Donegan is an assistant professor in residence at the University of Connecticut in the Urban and Community Studies program. Tab Coombs is a research associate and lecturer in the Department of City and Regional Planning at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Both hold master's degrees and PhDs from the Department of City and Regional Planning at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. So, anyway, this did come out in the Current. And it talks about the state has a chance to reassess proper street usage. I've shouted out about this in the past. I think that this is a really, really, really good time to reevaluate Connecticut's transportation plan, because we're in a position to do it now. This is I hate to say it, but it's a great experiment. And the experiment is telling us that, you know, if people don't want to get onto a mass transportation system, which is unfortunate, they're going to do what? They're going to probably start driving their cars more. So when the floodgates open, we have a problem, because our roads are going to become more and more congested, because people are not going to feel comfortable with getting on buses or trains, and it's just going to be a nightmare. It's going to be a quagmire, unless you ride your bike, which totally changes everything. And this is bicycle talk. This is what we talk about. This is why we are passionate about this. This is a chance to change everything. Don't put more lanes on highways going through Hartford. Don't do it. It doesn't make sense. Change the infrastructure so people can use other modes of transportation to get into city centers and get to work if they still need to go to work. Because now we're seeing, I read an article the other day. It said something about how 35% of the people that are working from home right now because of this COVID are going to get so relaxed with it that this is going to become the new norm, that companies aren't going to be, you know, have these big corporate headquarters any longer. They're going to figure out this whole virtual reality.
It's cheaper.
You know, it's cheaper to run it this way. It's going to be a bit of a crushing thing for the commercial real estate business. I think that's going to be, and unfortunately, there's someone that runs our country that's involved in commercial real estate. Anyway, I didn't say that. I did say that. But it is going to be tough. I mean, there's going to be some changes that are going to be made. But look at the changes that are going to be made. If you can take 35% of the working community and you can get them out of their cars and working in their homes instead, then there's going to be less pollution, or it's going to be better for the environment. We're already seeing cleaner air all around the world. Beijing saw the sun last week.
Wow.
Beijing saw the sun last week. That's a big deal. They have not seen the sun since the Olympics.
Whoa.
And the only reason they saw the sun at the Olympics is because they shut down manufacturing for 2 months. And by shutting it down for 2 months, they were able to basically clear the air enough so they could bring athletes in and have them at Olympic level. So here we are. Social distancing remains central to the COVID-19 fight, yet cities have received little guidance for translating this public health imperative into realistic policies for public spaces. I will get this up on my I'll get this up on the Bicycle Talk Facebook page, and you can read this. And it was sent to me by Tony Charolis, and and I thank you very much, Tony, for reaching out. He's with BCCO in Hartford, or you can go to his BCCO page and you will be able to find this article there too. Tony's super active in this part of our world that we know that we would like everyone else to know about. But, anyway, citing the city public's inability to maintain proper social distancing, many states, including Connecticut, have responded by closing state parks and trails, but there's a better approach. A novel, continual, updated, crowdsourced database housed at the University of North Carolina shows the cities across the globe from Budapest to Bogota, Vienna, and to Winnipeg, instead rebalancing streets by better allocating roads and sidewalks when tied to the COVID-19, instituting an inclusive process to open underutilized street space, and now and after the crisis would help to address some of the inequities that COVID-19 has spotlighted. This is, again, it's an opportunity. This is for every time you close one door, you open another. Yeah, I mean, we've heard that before, right? Well, here it is. The door has slammed shut. Okay. It is now time for us to take a look at how we transport ourselves. It is now looking at making our roads safer for cycling, because cycling really is a big deal and it really is an alternative. If you take the average commuter and they are ranging somewhere between, in the U.S., it's not necessarily where I am right now, but in the U.S., we're talking 5 to 10 mile commute to get to work. If you want your independence, you want to keep your independence, ride your bicycle. Because there's two things you're going to get out of it. What you're going to get out of it is A, you're going to get wonderful fitness by riding your bike to work, because you're going to be active enough to get yourself going and get your brain unlocked and get it ready to do the work that you're trying to do. And you're also going to be, you're not going to be congesting the highways. So the people that I know that will ride into Hartford, because we're in Connecticut and this is kind of our big quagmire is Hartford right now, that ride into Hartford and even those who ride in New Haven and all that area, they say that sometimes there are days they actually get to work sooner than they did when they were driving their car. Because when they were driving their car, they ended up in a parking lot on I-84 or on I-91 or I-95, and they couldn't go forward. And they look over to the side and they would see a bicycle on a back road or a parallel road that runs parallel to the highway, and they would just be passing all these cars because you can, because you don't have the congestion. And the key here is the lack of congestion. You get to work. What are you dealing with? You are dealing with the same thing that we deal with whenever you go anywhere. Lots of cars, big parking lots. Where do I park my car? Or you have to park it in a parking garage or a designated parking lot that is made for cars, and they charge you a monthly fee, and that monthly fee you don't have to use if you've got a different way of transporting yourself to work.
Laziza's is open.
Laziza's is open. Yay. Shout out to Laziza's down in Yantic, Connecticut. Awesome bakery down there and general food type items.
Yes.
Middle
Eastern food.
Middle Eastern food. I am unable to eat anything that has wheat in it due to the fact that I'm allergic to gluten.
I heard
the baklava will knock your socks off.
Yes.
But anyway, a little shout out to Laziza's. We love them because they love to see us come in on our bicycles and we ride down there, and it's kind of a go-to place to go. So anyway, big shout out. That's cool that Laziza's is open.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. Our friend, Mr. Joseph will be very happy to hear that.
Yes.
He likes to go there for lunch sometimes. So, anyway. There are lots of things that are open and opening. It's actually happening. So this is, we're not dead yet. Okay. To coin a very famous phrase from Monty Python. This is, life will go on. Things will change. We will make adjustments. This is all real, real good. Rebalancing streets challenges the ideas that streets exist solely for cars. In cities like Hartford, where a third of the households don't own cars, residents have always used streets for vital travel by way of public transit, walking, and bicycling. As gyms and playgrounds, state parks, and basketball courts have closed due to the COVID-19 crisis, streets and sidewalks play an increased role in maintaining physical and mental health by walking, running, and bicycling. The result, the spaces have become so crowded that the social distancing epidemiologists have called for is often impossible. So what do? You move them to the streets. That's what they did in, what was it? I reported on this last week. We talked about a city that had gone and opened up 74 miles of roads that are closed to cars. They're just for bicycles. That's it. That's the only way. Because they needed to spread it out. We got a big city, and the big cities are in a position of, if you close all the parks and you shut everybody inside and yet you're encouraging them go out for walks and do this and do that, you got to give them a place to do it. It's endless what we can do here. And rebalancing streets, I think, is the general theme behind this article that was in the Hartford Courant. And in rebalancing streets, cities cordon off on-street parking, road lanes, sometimes entire roads that last month were dedicated to cars, and reallocate those spaces to social distancing, pedestrians, bicycles. What happens if you take one lane of parallel parking out and just make it into a bike lane? Let's think about this. Montreal, Victoria, British Columbia, for example, have temporarily removed or rearranged on-street parking to create extra wide bike lanes. Berlin fast-tracked the installation of approved bikeways that had languished on the drawing boards. So here we go. This is it. In the United States, Oakland, California created 74 miles of slow streets by barring vehicular through traffic on residential streets. In Burlington, Vermont recently announced a sweeping shared street scheme that both creates space for and prioritizes pedestrians and bicycles across a quarter of the city streets. To date, they have documented over 50 cities taking open street actions. And in his April 15th press conference, Governor Ned Lamont called for Connecticut municipalities to join this list. So here we go. The transportation bill that is currently sitting in Hartford needs to be revamped. We need to make a change here. We have the opportunity to make a change here. We are a small, small state. And so therefore, we can set an example because we have the ability to do this. We don't have room for more roads. We don't. We just don't. So when you talk about taking a situation where you want to keep the cars running, you want to keep those cars going, keep those cars pumping in and out, going back and forth. And then the people who are driving cars complain, there should be bike lanes for these bicycles. I don't want them on the road with me. You got it backwards. There should be car lanes on the bike roads. How about that for a thought? Okay, because the bikes have less impact. They don't beat up the infrastructure. They don't cause you to have to tear the streets up all the time to fix them because you're driving a 6,000-pound vehicle that when it hits a pothole makes a much bigger pothole. They don't have that. We have the ability to make the change and make it now. So let's talk about making the change now. This is what it's all about. It's time for us to wake up, and this crisis that we're dealing with, as bad as it is, and we know we've all lost friends and family in this, and it's really, really sad and shameful that it's happening this way, but we have a chance to make the change, and we have made a chance to make it in a number of directions. Obviously, you know, my passion is the whole bicycle and personal transportation thing. And I think it's like super, super important. But when you start changing that, you also change the whole healthcare aspect of things. Fran and I were watching Bill Maher the other night, and Bill Maher went off on, he goes off on a lot of things, but he went off on the state of the health and well-being of the United States,
yes,
people in the U.S., and the quality of the food that we are eating. And he's not wrong. No. He's not wrong at all. We are setting ourselves up for more of this to happen because we're buying from enormous food lots and
right,
you know, big meat processing plants and all these different places. And it's just, you know, we're setting ourselves up for the next one. We really are. What can you do about it? Rebuild your immune system. Let's get it strong again. How do you do that? You ride your bike. You ride your bike. Obviously, it's a simple thing. You get out, ride your bike, go for a walk. You know, you live, I mean, my son lives less than 5 miles from work. He could walk there. He could walk there. And yeah, you have to set a little extra time away in your day. But at the same time, you're getting in your fitness at the same time, because you're getting in the mobility thing that we need to do, and you're also transporting yourself at the same time. So it's all very doable. You do it on a bike, you do it on your feet, you do it however you have to do it, but there are ways to change transportation as we know it in the U.S. It's going to hurt the oil company. It's going to hurt car companies.
The oil companies are really hurting now.
The oil companies are hurting so bad right now that the price of oil is under zero. It's like negative numbers right now because we don't have enough places to put all the oil that we're pumping out of the ground. What are we doing wrong here? What are we doing wrong? Let's take a look at that. We don't need to, we don't need to fund them. We don't need to do that. We need to fund bicycles. We need to fund back to the basics. The bicycle was the leader of the king of the roads. The bicycle is the reason why the first paved road was put down in the United States. It's the bicycle. That's what it's all about. And that's what I'm here to talk about. And that's why we have Bicycle Talk. It's one of the reasons. But anyway, this is like such important information that we are gaining from this. And I really, really, really like the, rebalancing word. I like that in this op-ed. It's just really, really nice. Again, if you, get a chance, Mary Dunnigan and Tab Coombs wrote an op-ed, and it appeared in the Harper Current. and it's entitled State Has Chance to Reassess Proper Street Usage. And they're, you know, they're spot on. There's just so many things that we could do better if we would just get people out of the automobile and into cars and better mass transportation. Our mass transportation is pathetic. We don't have trains that go very fast safely. We could really, really use that. I know we have an issue right now and people don't want to get onto mass transportation. I talked about that with my son, last weekend, when he called and, you know, he said, Dad, I'm not going anywhere. I can work from home and I'm, you know, fortunate enough to have a job that this works. And so that's what I'm doing. He goes, but I don't want to get anywhere near a bus or a train. He said, I just don't want to do it. It doesn't make any sense to me. So, and they're not requiring him to come into work because he's working on a computer all day long anyway. So it really works for him. But, anyway, this is really, it's an incredible chance for us to make big, big changes here. And it's, I just hope that people are paying attention and watching this because there's so much that you can do. I'm going to switch gears here a little bit, a little more. Of course, it's all COVID-19. The French pro riders, set to be allowed to train alone outdoors from May 11th. So according to a report on L'Equipe on Sunday, French pro riders will be permitted to train outside again from May 11th. They will only be allowed to train on their own, but the possibility to train outdoors will be welcomed on what has been 55 days of only being allowed to train inside because of the coronavirus pandemic. Now, this is this goes back to, I had reported this probably a month ago. I was screaming out at the French government because they were using Strava to locate and chase down people that were out training, and then they were, I don't know, arresting them, taking their bikes away. I don't know what they were doing. It's like insanity. They're out riding their bikes. The bike is like your social distance as much as you possibly can be, and they were arresting people for it. So it's like the French went nuts. Now, the French also had some very, very serious problems over there. And they got hit really, really hard with this. And I understand the reaction. Is it a reaction? Is it an overreaction? That will all be debated for many, many years to come. But they are allowing the pro riders to get back out and ride their bicycles outside. So that's a really cool thing. That's May 11th. Still a little ways away, but it's at least a chance of being able to do that. The report comes a day after the French Cycling Federation called restrictions on the riders to be listed. Competition is currently suspended until at least July 15th, that brings us to the Tour de France. And the FFC said that it was working to find new event formats that it could fit within the health restrictions. Since mid-March, all pros living in France have been forced to train indoors on their trainers, with France operating strict rules on isolation, similar to what they used in Italy and Spain. The riders living in those countries, in countries including Belgium and the Netherlands, however, have still been allowed to train outdoors, as we have right here in the U.S. We are able to get outdoors. That's not a problem. The Italian riders are now, I got a little piece here that I pulled up, and now our Italian riders, Italy is to lift the ban on outdoor training on May 4th. So this is also from Cycling News, you'll see more and more of the countries starting to let people get outdoors. I think it's really super important. We have the one thing that's a little alarming, and I noticed this on Saturday when Fran and I were out for a nice ride, that we went by our local rail trail trailhead, which is just 2 miles from our house, so it's pretty close by. And it's the airline trail. And the airline trail right there, it's great access place to get you to go airline, to go north, or you can go back south, or really it's east-west, but we won't get into that. Anyway, it's a good access point. There was not a place to park a car. It was packed. And when I went by the North Windham School, which is just a half mile, or even less than a half mile, a quarter mile down the road from there, there was probably a dozen cars in the school parking lot.
Really?
Yeah, because the people are using the trail. And great, people are using the trail. Really, really good. Just be safe. Be cautious. Be smart. Just be smart. That's all we really need. You just got to be smart.
And not a bad idea. If you're going to use the rail trail in a congested place, wear or bring a mask.
And we were, I had a mask with me on Saturday.
I wore what do you call them? The tube things. A muffler?
Yeah.
What do you call it? The tube scarves.
Yeah.
You can get those nice Lycra infused tube scarves.
We used to call them neck warmers at Louis Vuitton.
Right. But, okay. Yeah. So it's neck warmer.
You can call them anything you want, but they're very versatile. You can make them into a balaclava. You can, make them into a neck warmer. You can use them to keep chills down.
So I had it over my head, to catch sweat, and because it was cold. So I had it on my head as a hat, and then I had it folded in, and then I had it so I could pull it up at the bottom. And use it as a mask. And so I was able to take it off, pull it up and push it down. And when there were a lot of people on the trail, I just pulled it up. So I was masked.
Yeah. It's good. It's not a bad idea to do that. And, if you're going to go out, just be safe, but get out. Like I always say, keep your rubber side down, get out, ride your bike. I mean, that's what this is all about. I'm going to finish this off right now, and I'm going to go back to a little more reflection. All right. The big reflection that I have right now is I've hit a milestone in my life, and I reached 65 years of age. So I traditionally will put that number into some sort of a bicycle ride. So Fran and I rode 65 kilometers on my 65th birthday, or the day before, because the weather was really nice. I saw people out riding bikes. I saw a lot of people out riding bikes. I saw couples out riding bikes. Shout out to Ken and Kathy. Shout out to Amber and David. We just saw all these people that were out riding their bicycles and really being responsible about it too, and riding just one or two at a time. The bike riding is just wonderful right now. The weather is still, it's not perfect, but we're living with it. But the roads are quieter, and they are not going to be quiet forever. And this is a real gift that we're being given in that direction. And I know it's not in all the other directions. I know it's horrific in all of the directions. And big shout out to all those that are dealing with this. Healthcare people, everyone, you're special right now. You really are. But let's take care of ourselves so we don't have to go tax them anymore. Okay. Get out, ride that bike. What I saw on Saturday's ride, I saw a lot of years of riding my bike. I saw the years. I kind of been looking at this and reflecting on it. I go back and I go, I was that weird kid that rode his bicycle to school in high school. After I got my driver's license, I was that weird kid that went out and bought his first 10-speed bicycle after I got my driver's license. And yeah, it was a big deal to drive. And, my dad owned a gas station. I mean, he owned a service station. Cars were in our lives. So cars were our lives. But, I had this love affair with my bicycle, and it continues. So what can I say? I love riding my bike. I love riding with Fran. I miss my friends a lot because I love riding with them too. The bicycle has brought me many, many places, and it has basically, it is shaped and carved my life. And I'm 65 years old, and I'm fit as can be, and I can climb any of the hills that are put out here in front of me, and I feel really, really good. And I hope you all feel good too. Moving on to events, the Steeplechase Bike Tour. Maybe August 15th, 2020. We're hoping. Check it out, steeplechasebiketour.org. The 9th Annual Thread City Cyclers Century Ride, July 26, 2020. Come and explore the roads that Pedal and Ron and Fran ride on. The Farm to Fork Fondos, right here, Farm to Fork Fondos. See that?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're still on. As far as we know, they're still on. And they are taking registrations for 2021 right now. So yeah. Things are definitely
the Bloomin' Metric
that
was canceled.
The Bloomin' Metric is, as far as we know, done.
No, it is done.
It is done.
I looked it up.
All right. Anyway, the views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of the station. My name is Pedalin' Ron, and you've been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, Fran Storch. A show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you've been listening to this live or Facebook Live or on podcast and you'd like to comment, send me an email, bicycletalk1@gmail.com. And you can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, or now on Spotify. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show or be on the show as a guest coming soon, send an email to bicycletalk1@gmail.com. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Storrs. Thanks for listening.